I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I still don't think that Auburn actually went in. Welcome to Ramble React. My name is Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Andy Brattle.
Well, we meet again, Andrew Brattle. We did the football ramble this morning. And, you know, I try and pump myself up for these shows, even though they're recorded quite late at night. But after that, as a Newcastle fan, rather deflated about that whole performance, to be honest. I mean,
yes,
the opener, as I said in the intro, it didn't look like it should have gone in, but it went in. Martin Dubravka thought it wasn't going in, and then it went in. And Chelsea just kind of ambled to a result in the end. 3-2 it finished. Nicholas Jackson getting that first goal before Isak pulled one back with a lovely hit. And it was a lovely hit. Then Chelsea turned it on a little bit in the second half with Cole Palmer getting a goal after his assist. God, he was good tonight. We'll get to him in a second. And Mudryk scoring a wonderful goal before Jacob Murphy made it interesting at the end with a great hit. It was a rather underwhelming performance from Newcastle, but Chelsea are heading up the table and they are cutting it very fine with Newcastle United. They are sneaking into the top half of the table. They are a point behind Newcastle United as it stands, and they've got a game in hand on them as well, so they may end up above them.
Yeah, look, we'll come to your existential misery in a minute, I think. But as far as the Chelsea end goes...
Can we do a ramble react just on that?
Yeah, let's do that. I felt it was quite a tepid game overall, with a few little bits of warmth in the second half. But yeah, it was after a day that started with such joy for us in the Ramble studio, it did feel as if it was coming to a bit of a damp squib of an end. That was the warm last eighth of the pint of lager, really, wasn't it?
It was, on our day. Yeah. Very much the Gareth Southgate effect, one would suggest. I mean, he turns up, he just dampens it. Like, everyone gets excited because he's here to watch some England prospects, and Gordon instantly gets injured. I mean, it's incredible stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, there was the bit where the the physio, of course, always comes on with a bit of calm and goes, "Now tell me where it hurts." There, there. It hurts here! It hurts here!
Yeah. And we wonder why Newcastle United are beset with a raft of injuries in their squad. Good God. You just love to see it, don't you? I mean, I think even, you know, Jacob Murphy would admit that coming on for Anthony Gordon, that is a downgrade. That's a downgrade.
It's fair to say, but having said that, Pete, I thought that when I said that this was quite a tepid game, it was a game that, A, when Jacob Murphy came on, he looked as if he injected something into the game straight away. I thought he made a really positive impact.
He's very direct, isn't he?
Yeah, and he looked the most he looked the most likely to even before that goal. But part two of that is the fact that it's one of those games where it just made Cole Palmer look like one of the best players in the world, because he was the one player who was just head and shoulders above everyone else on the field.
Yeah, and what is Cole Palmer? I mean, this is effectively his first season in the Premier League, one would suggest, at large. I mean, he's got to be looking back at this and sort of going, well, what's next for me? Like, how do I kick on from such an incredible first season?
I think when you look at what Chelsea have seemingly tried to do in terms of building their squad, they wanted 10 Cole Palmers rather than one Cole Palmer and the 10 other ones, really. That's what they wanted. Someone who is young, keen to prove himself, keen to augment his value and his status, and has not just the ability, but the guts to really grab a game. And it doesn't feel like that with so many of those other players, regardless of their price tag. I think you look at, you know, and I realise it is difficult when, you know, it's loads of young players chucked in one team and Pochettino's left to sort of mould it into something. And, of course, that is why they would be mad to get rid of Pochettino, because, as he showed at Spurs the first time, it takes a while to take shape. And whatever those players cost, I think is really immaterial. The fact is they need it to work. They need those players to work to protect the investment. And, you know, we saw a bit of gentle progress from Mudryk tonight, for example, and we have this season, I think. But I do look, and I'm not getting it in because of his price tag, but Moises Caicedo, he just looks a liability in the middle of the pitch. You know, he is someone who, honestly, I think playing the way he's played this season, he wouldn't improve Newcastle, for example. I'm not sure he walks into that team. That is something that obviously will rest with Pochettino, getting the most out of all of those players and protecting those investments for want of a better word. So look, Chelsea have had loads of good bits of games this season, and I feel like tonight they were quite fortunate to come up against a team that has looked out on its feet for probably the best part of 4 months now. But having said that, the baby steps, you expect a little bit more than that from Chelsea overall. Now, of course, having got to one cup final, being in the quarter final of another and pushing up in the league, they do have an opportunity to salvage something that maybe people thought they wouldn't get out of this season.
One word on Mudryk. I mean, his goal was beautiful, and the thing about that footballer is, like, you know the Jeff Buckley song Lilac Wine?
Yes.
It's like a warm bath of a song that you're just kind of submerged into it. But the minor key just sets you on edge a little bit. And Mudryk is very much like that. He's so smooth and well put together, but there's menace at the edges. There's you get in the bath and you're like, what is this liquid? Is this something unnerving about him? And he scares me, and he's done Newcastle a real number there on that goal. It was a real piece of work.
It was. I think that's a great comparison. I would have gone for All Apologies by Nirvana, but that is just because it's produced by Steve Albini. It's not actually anything to do with the song, is it? So if we're that would mean we're equating Albini to Pochettino, which I don't think really works.
No,
to be honest.
I don't want
to
live in that world.
He's got a nicer bedside manner, Poch, I think, by all accounts. But I think with Mudryk, because I saw a lot of him with Shakhtar, obviously, as I spent a bit of time with the team, I just I feel really pleased for him when he has good moments. And I just feel that, you know, everyone always says, well, Arsenal really dodged a bullet with that one, didn't they, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is, Arsenal are far more together on and off the pitch. So I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest that he would have developed at a better pace if he'd have joined Arsenal instead.
Yeah.
So, but look, it is what it is. He's a player who arrived with enormous potential, some really great performances in the Champions League, but quite a small amount of first team experience. So that's why you're getting that sort of unevenness. But when you get a moment like that, you think, yeah, I can see what all the fuss is about. To bring that sort of clarity at that sort of pace is something really special, and that's the best of Mudryk, really, isn't it?
I do like watching it, and again, you're right, just at a better side or a more together side that's firing on all cylinders, he probably would be a much better footballer and learn a bit more. We've kind of forgotten, Andy, that Mikhailo Mudryk challenged a supporter about a month ago to a one-on-one for $10,000 after they got beaten by Liverpool.
Do you remember that?
That was weird, wasn't it?
I do. It reminded me of like in the 80s when Alex Higgins, the snooker player, used to go into pubs. Right. When he was world champion, he used to go into pubs and play people for like a tenner a frame.
Fantastic. I mean, I saw Ramos Luke Moore playing Uno for Cheerios, and I believe and that was today on his holiday. And so I don't know how he's got on with that, but maybe we'll find out on the way back. Maybe he won't be lineal champion. Maybe he won't be a member of the Luke Nation by the time he gets back. Oh, did you say that Adam Sandler was also in the crowd at Stamford Bridge? Andy.
Yeah, he was. It's so unusual seeing him in a football context, not because he's Adam Sandler or not because he's not a sporty guy, because obviously he is, but you always see him. He's famous, isn't he, for playing pick-up basketball wherever he goes.
Basketball guy, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he would be playing people for $10,000 a game, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you reckon he's researching a role, or maybe he's kind of just decided that he's going to drop in for a bit of soccer aid action later in the year?
Soccer aid. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? Sandler's too good
Woody
for
Harrelson
soccer.
We had Woody Harrelson one time, didn't we?
Yeah, he's too good for soccer aid. Harrelson's definitely too good for soccer aid.
Well, Harrelson, didn't he sort of spend a bit of time playing pick-up football on Regent's Park when he did Soccer Aid? Do you remember?
Am I just outing myself as someone who never watches Soccer Aid?
Andy, you should do. It's everything we love. Unprofessionalism, out-of-shape people, and football. It's all good. It's really good stuff. Me and Marcus love it.
I know. Spells keeps like looking at the squad list every year and thinking, oh, I didn't get picked again.
Yeah, if only we'd adopted the YouTube darkness earlier on in our career. I've got on the Adam Sandler kick. I could have been the true Geordie. I'm similar interests if released tweets are to be believed. Adam Sandler. I've got three for you, Andy. Miggy Almiron is Uncut Gems, very frenetic,
okay.
Decision making, frequently poor. Dan Byrne, Big Daddy, Adam Sandler film. And Billy Madison, Chelsea have probably got a young England prospect called Billy Madison on their books.
I had Lewis Miley as the water boy, really. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I could. He got a bit of game time, and he looking less and less attractive coming on for Newcastle nowadays, isn't it? Oh dear.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh dear, look at these keepers.
Pochettino did say before this game that he would never quit his job amid Chelsea's struggles. You did say, Andy, that he could have been out by Christmas. Has he survived? Well, we know he survived Christmas, but is he safely over the hump with these performances? And the league table doesn't lie. It's happening for them a little bit.
Is helping, and look, I think they should stick with him, and you know, I've always felt that he needed time. I also felt because it's Chelsea, he wouldn't get it.
But
maybe they'll fire him when we least expect it. I don't know, but look, I think they have to stay with him for now, and they should stay with him for now. You know, there've been plenty of promising moments, particularly in the last couple of months.
Yeah, he said that he apparently cancelled his birthday dinner after Chelsea drew 2-2 with Brentford last weekend. He said, "It killed my wife because I cancelled our dinner. I said, I don't want to go for dinner. I want to stay at home. I was lucky because my coaching staff was with me then. We finished the day watching Real Madrid versus Valencia, had more wine, but no excitement." Just one absolute lame o'cablamo. Oh, my goodness. Like, he just tells his wife, "Sorry, darling, we're not going out for a delicious slap-up dinner for my birthday. I'm bringing my coaching staff round and we're going to watch Real Madrid versus Valencia."
Can you imagine the sinking feeling for Signora Pochettino as the door opens? He's like, "All right, Jesus and the lads are here. You know, make yourself at home, fellas. Yeah, help yourself to whatever you want out of the fridge." And she's going, "Don't help yourself to whatever you want out of the fridge. You're not staying. We are staying. It's Valencia versus Real Madrid. It's going to be brilliant. Jude Bellingham's going to get sent off for swearing at the end. It's going to be really exciting." I mean,
I've watched a Real Madrid match around your house, Andy. And your good lady was there.
Yeah,
but it wasn't a spur of the moment decision.
You have that's right. I remember who was it? In fact, maybe it was my wife that made fairy cakes for the occasion, and you picked one up and said, "I can't have a fairy cake in this environment. I can only have a man bun."
Oh no, did I? That sounds terrible. What a toxic individual you brought into your house. Oh dear. Sometimes people tell me about things I did as a younger man, and I am shook to my very core. It's a good job.
No, but you
didn't exist back in the day.
You weren't talking about the man bun that I have been pressuring you into trying to wear either. You were trying to have a more macho version of a fairy cake.
No, I have got a bit of rubber band in the hair to keep it out of my face.
Okay.
Yeah, it's solid stuff. It really is. Gareth Southgate was in the stands as discussed with his assistant Steve Holland. Anyone apart from Cole Palmer who will have impressed him tonight? Anyone who's going to be getting on that plane?
Well, I suppose Conor Gallagher is kind of there, isn't he? Probably in the squad anyway.
He's busy. He's busy and he's versatile.
He is busy and versatile. The thought of him being in the England squad doesn't massively excite me, if I'm being honest.
No.
But of course, that's not really what it's about, and it's not really what Southgate's about. It's like, we would all love to see Cole Palmer get picked. He's not going to get picked. I don't think. Mm. You know, there are too many other players who do that sort of thing. You look at the competition, you know, you look at, say, Foden. You know, you can't say for a minute, however brilliant Palmer has been this season, that he's missed at Manchester City, because he's just not. He wouldn't be getting a game. No. And it's good that he moves from a neutral perspective as well as a Chelsea perspective, because we wouldn't get to see him doing his stuff on a weekly basis. So... Look, I think obviously Southgate would have loved to have a proper look at Anthony Gordon. No, I feel he's probably a little bit short as well, even though he's had a really good season as well. I just wonder, Pete, with the rest of this season and with, as you say, Chelsea kind of creeping up behind Newcastle now, how much of a blow could Gordon being out for a significant amount of time, and like at this point, 3 weeks is a significant amount of time, isn't it? You know, what sort of effect could that have on the end of the season? And what would you say would be successful for the rest of this season? What would represent success, I suppose?
I think at the point in which Newcastle scored their goal in response by Isak, which is a good finish, it was like watching two sort of latex gloves filled with cottage cheese in a washing machine. And that kind of maelstrom is the way that Newcastle kind of succeed in these Premier League matches. They just flop. They flop around, and they somehow found a way to score a couple of goals. And there doesn't seem to be, A, that intensity, B, that sort of game plan, or C, much sort of dead ball work going on. So I do think that with so many players going down and so many players gassing out so early, it might be an argument to sort of go, look, we're not getting anywhere. We don't need the $500,000 per place or whatever it is, if you drop out that the top 10 anyway. So let's just send the defenders that need patching up to their respective operations. Mm. Let's give Isak his groin back. Let's just start sending him out and let's blood in some youth team players, because we are the walking wounded at the moment. Newcastle are the walking wounded at the moment. And I just think you need to sort of go, look, you've had your PSG result. You've had some wonderful moments. Concentrate on the Man City match. I don't think you'll get through with that kind of performance that we've shown tonight against Chelsea. So just get people fit and regroup for the start of next season. And if it needs, if we need to sort of sell a Bruno, then that's what has to happen, I would say. So yeah, what does success look like at Newcastle at the moment? Probably where they are right now, to be honest, because they just haven't had the same 11 out every week for a very, very long time. So, yeah, it's sad, but I think we just got to say goodbye to this season, Andy. What do you reckon?
All I heard there is you trying to deny me Europa Conference League football within walking distance of my house.
I know.
I put up with a lot of behaviour from you, but I hate standing for that.
I know, Andy, and it's a great history tournament, and it's good eating for the Andy Brassel Enterprises, and you know, your partner needs fairy cake flour. I don't know, but I tell you, one player who's not going to be kicking a ball next season for Newcastle United, Matt Ritchie, is not going to be offered a new contract at the end of the season, reports say. I mean, it's just bad news after bad news after bad news. This is up there with Jonas getting the hook.
Oh, it really is. What are they going to do? Like, for the last home game of the season, they're going to have him come on and kick all four corner flags out of their sockets.
Pretty much, yeah.
I should hope so.
I'll snap him and take him home, yeah. Well, he got his goal, didn't he, last week or the week before?
Yeah.
And Newcastle were chasing the game, but he really wanted to celebrate, which is really funny.
Yeah, I mean, there will never be a greater moment than him scoring, kicking the corner flag and it spiralling into the crowd and hitting that bloke in the nuts.
Get him in the nuts, didn't he? I forgot about that.
Incredible.
Fantastic.
That's one of the greatest moments in Premier League history.
It's up there. It's up there with when I went to see Southend once, and the ball went on top of one of the stands, and I could see where the ball was going to come down, and I could see that it was going to bounce off a bald linesman's head, and I was like, "That's going to hit him," and it hit him, and it bounced with the sweet noise of a. noise, and I was like, that's the best thing I'll ever see. I think Matt Ritchie kicking a corner flag into a man's balls, into his Buffman's bridge, just something else. Dan Ashworth is, of course, on gardening leave. I imagine he'll probably do some fine work on us as early as by the end of the season, because it's going to be a long one. Former Roma sporting director Thiago Pinto has thrown his hat into the ring today. He's, of course, close allies with Jose Mourinho. That's the last thing that our manager needs. Isn't it?
Yeah, just the vote of confidence that anyhow needs, isn't it? I think the interesting thing is, you can talk about Dan Ashworth's gardening leave. I think Thiago Pinto deserves some sort of extended holiday or luxury break after the best part of 3 years working with Mourinho, especially as most of that 3 years has been, we're in the FFP shit, please magic me some superstar players. And miraculously, he got Romelu Lukaku on board. He got Paulo Dybala on board. So if you're salivating over that, Newcastle fans, I don't blame you. I think when you bear in mind the FFP challenges that Amanda Staveley was wanting to tell us about every 3.5 minutes during that Amazon series, it seems quite a natural choice. Actually, so in terms of building a squad of some depth, and like Roma don't really have any money, and yet they have a squad of greater depth than Newcastle. Now, I realise there are like Mike Ashley legacy problems in terms of squad building, and that's something that will take a while to wash out. But I can see a lot of sense in this, actually.
I mean, I love it because he looks a little bit like David Leary to me, and I have a.
Squashed David O'Leary.
But that is very much the modern kind of sporting director, isn't it? A man or woman who can work it with quite severe restrictions, unless you're at a Manchester United or a Chelsea or a Man City, and you can either fight FFP with lawyers and kick stuff into the long grass, or you've just got a massive marketing base from which you can cream off a bit of cash. You'd imagine that some kind of improvements to the treatment table has. Euphemistic as that is, Newcastle must be looking at some kind of improvements on that end, because they have been restricted by their getting their players back on the field to a massive degree this season.
Yeah, first the cheese boards, now the treatment table. I think it's the
cheese boards.
The logical way of things.
Because famously, obviously, the chefs of Newcastle United in the hospitality areas couldn't provide new cheese boards, so they had to use old tables.
They repurposed journalist desks.
The
ones where the you sit in the chair and the desk bit like folds over onto your lap. They just went down into the press room and pitched a couple of those. Yeah.
With like Jonathan Wilson SAFC carved with a protractor underneath.
Exactly.
Outrageous behaviour. That's absolutely
Imagine
outrageous.
Taking a parent or loved one for hospitality at Newcastle, and you know, getting your cheese, your brie on a board carved it in with a compass point. Yeah. Marco Gabbiadini is God.
Speaking of chairman and the money men, so to speak, spending a bit of money with their respective football teams, it's been revealed that Roman Abramovich once looked into building a stadium for Chelsea on the roof of Waterloo Station. Now, I mean, isn't it a listed building? How does that work, Andy? How do you put a stadium on top of Waterloo Station?
It works if you're a man who no one ever says no to, who no one ever says, what? That's a really shit idea and you should maybe can it.
Well, the way that, like, because, like, Waterloo Station is a lovely, airy, kind of light, naturally kind of lightly aspirated building. I think I've used the word aspirated incorrectly there. But the light sort of streams in, and it's, you know, they don't spend a lot of money on lighting it at Waterloo. I just think it's a lovely light building. But to have Chelsea just absolutely, you know, put it into darkness sounds horrific. And the actual picture, it looks like this drinking straw sort of coming out of this floating Chelsea stadium. And and it's just basically over the top of Waterloo Station.
What's it looks Pratt like a plunk. Is that right?
It looks like a plunk. Yeah. Oh yeah, it looks like a big spider's web that's gone on top. But I mean, obviously, the Blues have long sought to expand Stamford Bridge. Obviously, they're home since 1905. But I mean, this is about as batty as it gets, to be honest. I mean, Newcastle United obviously talking about maybe moving St James's Park a few metres up Barrack Road or something, and just adding some stuff in. It will be a shame, I think, if Newcastle United ever choose Newcastle Central Station floating stadium, but B, them upping sticks, and with such a sort of money club and such... these teams have so many levers to pull when it comes to financial resources. Is matchday revenue really all that for them? I never understand. Why don't you keep the product as pure and as kind of... Because that's at the end of the day what you're sports washing. That's what you're selling, isn't it?
Yeah, you're trying to make it about exceptional atmosphere, aren't you? So I think you really can charge too much to get in. In terms of moving it to Newcastle Central Station, though, I think that would be an absolutely great move because, as you'll be aware, it is perhaps the coldest place on earth. So if you're looking to create somewhere that's inhospitable for visitors, for visiting teams, I mean, you can imagine like Bruno taking the field in his onesie, for example. I think that would be the sort of flavour of that. I think they'd have a brilliant, even better home record if they had it there.
Andy, just a quick one to finish us off, so to speak. Lille, you're a big fan of that side, and you're a big fan of this player, as am I. Eden Hazard came back to the club as a guest of honour at the weekend. He obviously spent a lot of years there before he went to Chelsea and won the League and Cup double with them in 2011. To mark his return, they hauled Hazard-themed hamburgers with his shirt and number printed on the buns. It was pretty woeful, but... Hazard, he's known for having buns. That was his big USP, wasn't it? Big old buns.
It was, and particularly, it's worth reminding people, Pete, that when he was still a teenager in one of his earlier games for Belgium, in a qualifier against Turkey in Brussels, he was substituted in the second half. And before the game was even over, while the game was still going on, he was pictured outside with his dad at a burger van tucking in, which I think says everything you need to know about Eden Hazard and why he's brilliant. You know, not just because he was a genius footballer, but he's kind of like a normal man as well. And I really like that about him. He did come onto the pitch. You know, we spoke last week on the Ramble about how Ligue 1 Uber Eats is becoming Ligue 1 Mackie D's next season.
McDonald's, yeah.
Well, as part of the whole Uber Eats thing, basically it was all a bit untidy because, like, when they have a big celebrity guest in a French football game, they will have them come on and do like a ceremonial kickoff. So whether it's, you know, a soldier, a policeman, an actor, someone who's won UFC or whatever, they'll get them on and they'll just like boot the ball off the centre circle. They'll just tap it off the centre circle, wave to the crowd and off they go. So they got Eden Hazard on to do that. Obviously, he's capable of much more than like tapping it off the centre spot. So it seems a bit of a waste.
I mean, would you not just absolutely whack one from the halfway line?
Test
the keeper.
Yeah. Even in jeans, he could do that, I reckon. But the thing was, he came on and at the same time, as I explained to you guys on the Ramble last week, that they have an Uber Eats driver like deliver the ball. So they had someone, not Eden Hazard in an Uber Eats uniform, because presumably he refused to do that, but they had like an Uber Eats chaperone with him. I don't know, maybe to keep him off.
It's an unfortunate image. If he wouldn't have requested that. Can we just not do the Uber Eats thing for one day? Because I was known for being a man who just loved other things.
Yeah, it's like she was like stood next to him going, yeah, you can't have any more than 5 burgers. That's your absolute limit. In the first half anyway. And so he just comes out chatting to this lady, kicks it off the centre spot, does a 1-2 with her, and you're like, oh, what happened there?
Good stuff. Well, they opened a new training ground named after Eden Hazard, and in his speech opening, cutting the ribbon all out with a big pair of scissors, he said, this is the Eden Hazard pitch, so no gym, no running, only playing football. And I think that should be the mantra that every footballer goes through. I'm sick of seeing these perfect weird robots that don't have anything to say for themselves apart from talking about football. I'd loved Eden Hazard. I would have enjoyed him at our club, and he would have enjoyed the nightlife, I imagine, in Newcastle.
Oh, yeah, I reckon.
Probably wouldn't have performed quite at such a high level. Right, shall we get out of here, Andy? It's been an emotional night for at least one of us, and I'm really sorry about Europa League football not making its way to St James's Park for next season, but they've only got themselves to blame.
Conference League. It's all that we want. We won't give up on the
Conference
dream.
Conference League. Conference League. All right. Maybe they'll bring back the old
Anglo-Italian.
Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Join us on Wednesday where we will react to Arsenal's crucial Champions League second leg against Porto. That's going to be a good one, and much, much more. In the meantime, find us on X, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify. Andy, thanks for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Waybians.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.